Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for every person that has written in their prayer requests, their praise reports. God, we thank you for what you are doing in this prayer meeting. Lord, you get all the glory and the honor. And now in these few minutes, as we open up the word, I pray that hearts would be strengthened. I pray that every person in faith here who believes in you as Savior will be encouraged by the word. Holy Spirit, lead me. I thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. I just want to give you just a short word of encouragement, which is what we normally like to do for our Tuesday night prayer meeting, just thoughts on faith and prayer. My message is simply titled Prayer and Suffering. And in Mark chapter 14, and if you have it, if you'd like to turn there, if you have the Bible with you, you can. But also, too, you can listen. But in Mark chapter 14, Scripture tells us in verse 32, and they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to him, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. It's a powerful moment in the life of Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth. They had just actually had communion themselves before they entered into Gethsemane. He had broke bread, just as we did this evening. He gave thanks. He told them, this represents my body, and this cup represents my blood. And that night, he also told them that one of you are going to betray me. And of course, all of the disciples were up in arms, feeling like he had gotten his facts wrong. And then they all had their moment where they expressed to him that they'll never leave him. Peter especially, always the first to speak up and to make sure that Jesus knows that he's never going to deny him. Never going to leave. We'll be right there at his side. James and John at some point in their ministry also told Jesus too that we will die with you. Peter, James, and John, three that we know specifically, were very vocal about their stance with Jesus Christ, that they would be there to the end. Peter, James, and John, they represent three of the disciples who Jesus considered friends. He considered them all friends, but there was something special about Peter, James, and John. And it wasn't favoritism. It was simply a representation of friendship, close friendship that Jesus desires to have with you and I. That's who Peter, James, and John represent. And so when we look through Scripture, through all the Gospels, there's actually three primary moments, three specific moments where Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to go a little further with him. He singles them out three times. The first time was at the house of Jairus when his daughter had died. And some of you may not know this story, but it was a moment in Scripture where Jesus was approached by this man, Jairus, who said, my daughter is dying. And then on the way, the daughter died. And then many people had said, forget about it. Don't trouble Jesus. And Jesus said, fear not. I'm coming to your house. And then when he got to the house, They were already mourning and crying, and scripture tells us that music was playing. And then Jesus said, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And then the mourners, the professional mourners and the musicians started to laugh. And the Bible tells us that Jesus made everyone leave except for Peter, James, and John and the parents. And Jesus took Peter, James, and John, singled them out and the parents, and they went into the room, and Jesus touched the little girl and she came alive again. And in that moment, it's the first time that Peter, James, and John have been singled out. And in that moment, the first time, Peter, James, and John experienced the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And then the second time, Jesus singles out Peter, James, and John and invites them to the Mount of Transfiguration, a place where you would see Jesus just transform in all of his splendor as majesty and king. And so Jesus singles out Peter, James, and John, inviting them to go a little further once again. And they go up to the top of the mountain, and there appears Moses and Elijah. And Jesus is having a conversation on top of the mountain with Moses and Elijah. And while they're having this conversation, Peter took it upon himself to speak up and suggest a great idea. His words were a little bit along the lines of, hey, Jesus, don't mean to interrupt, but it's really good that we're here with you. And I've got a suggestion, because we have the expertise to do this. How about we build three tents for you to stay, and Moses and Elijah? As if Jesus and Moses and Elijah need a tent to hang out on top of the mountain. But he wanted to feel like somebody, because once in a while we feel like it's our responsibility to earn the love and grace of God. And scripture tells us in the Gospels, it's a funny moment. It's in Matthew's Gospel that the Bible says that while Peter was still speaking, while he was still expressing his great idea, he's suddenly overshadowed by this majestic and glorious cloud. And the voice of the Lord, voice of God, just rings out. It just suddenly on top of the mountain, I am pleased, I am well pleased with my son, Jesus. You got to picture this. Here's Peter boldly telling Jesus what the plan is next in order for us to stay on top of the mountain. And suddenly he is interrupted by the voice of God. And God says, I am pleased. I am well pleased with my son, Jesus. And then he says to Peter, James, and John, listen to him. Listen to him. And it's an important moment that leads us into the third time that Peter, James, and John are singled out. Now, you would think at the Mount of Transfiguration that the moment that they heard God say, listen to him, I'd be all ears every second, every moment. But there would come a third time where Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to go a little further. You see, the first time, he showed them in Jairus' home his power and authority. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he showed Peter, James, and John his glory. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he would show Peter, James, and John his humanity. And as we read, clearly his humanity was not as attractive as his glory and his power and authority. It had been a long day. They ate well, but they were also emotional as they went in. They had sang a hymn, they had a worship time. And Jesus had said to them, listen, you're gonna run tonight. Oh, no, we're not. Peter said, I'm not leaving you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. It was emotional, it was exhausting going into the Garden of Gethsemane. But this was a moment where they were not going to be able to stay alert based upon the natural and who they were as humans, but it would be a revelation of their dependency on the supernatural when they would see the humanity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So follow along with me. Once again, Jesus shows up in the Garden of Gethsemane, tells the disciples to sit and wait here. But then he tells Peter, James, and John, come a little further with me. And I can imagine them going, oh man, yeah. What are we gonna see next? We've seen his power and his authority. We've seen his glory. Oh, this is getting good. He keeps calling us. I'm so sorry, guys, that you don't get to come. But this is round three for us. This is gonna be really good. And instead of laying hands on a little girl, calling her back to life, instead of having a conversation with Moses and Elijah, he looks to those who he calls his friends, and he shows his humanity, and he says, I'm sorrowful, so much so that I feel like I'm about to die. Watch and pray with me. And he goes a little further, and he goes to pray, and Peter, James, and John fall asleep. Something that so many of us tend to do when it doesn't look attractive enough. Because it's easy to embrace the glory. It's easy to embrace the power and authority. Of course, we all want to walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit and cast out demons. But there's something else to learn about the Jesus who suffered on the cross. There is his humanity on display. Because you have to understand something. When Jesus invited them in the Garden of Gethsemane to look a little closer, to watch and pray with them, as he expresses to them exactly how he feels, it's in that moment that Jesus desires to show us how to pray in the moment of your suffering. Because oftentimes we feel like God has abandoned us when things aren't going right. When the trials are beating us up, when circumstances have worn us out, we sometimes say, God, where are you? But you have to understand something in faith, that often in those circumstances, you are closer to Jesus Christ than you've ever been. Because in that moment, he prays a very simple prayer. A prayer that has been given to us in scripture that we have been called to model in the most despairing moments of our life. Abba, Father. You see, when we pray, we get to pray knowing that we have intimacy with God. We get to pray like Jesus, Abba, Father. Abba means Father. The word Abba was used in Jewish culture amongst children. That's how they often referred to their fathers. Jesus gave us this wonderful example that we can call God Abba Father. This is not just the big man upstairs. He's so much more than that. He's my Father. Abba Father. Prayer calls us to know God in an intimate way. Abba, Father, he says, everything's possible with you. And then he says, is there another way? Matter of fact, in Mark, if you look at it, Jesus made it very clear. He said, remove this cup from me. You see, in this prayer, Jesus reveals intimacy with the Father, and he also reveals to us vulnerability to the Father. Vulnerability. I want you to know tonight, it is safe to tell God how you feel tonight. There's nothing for you to prove. You don't have to make an impression with God. The greatest impression was made on the cross. So if my Savior can tell his Father exactly how he feels, I know I can have some conversation and tell the Father how I feel. It's okay for you to tell the Father, I can't do this no more. I'm struggling. I'm worn out. Father, change the plan. Do something. Because it's in that moment of transparency and vulnerability that God meets the honest heart, and he does something supernatural when we are able to approach him in our humanity, knowing that the deity of God shows up and indwells our heart. He says, remove this cup from me. What a clear picture of the humanity of God. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. He's totally overwhelmed. He's in great distress. He's in agony, because in the agony of who he is as 100% man, also being 100% God, he knows exactly where he's going in a matter of hours. He knows. So it brings him to a great wrestling in his heart, a great distress, because he knows that he's getting ready to bear the sins of the world. Everything that you've done, everything that I've done, he's getting ready to bear it upon himself. He knows. This is why he said, I love you. I want you to get closer with me. I want you to follow me. I've shown you my glory. I've shown you my power and authority. But here's my humanity, because in that, you're going to know how to pray in your darkest hour. He said, remove this cup. But then here's the key. In your vulnerability, you must also approach the Father with humility. See, I approach him with intimacy, right? Father. Then there's vulnerability. If there's another way, I feel overwhelmed. I feel tired. But then in our prayer, there's humility. Because it's in humility that brings us to a place where we say, yes, yet not my will, but your will be done. Humility brings us to a place where we fully receive the authority of our Father to have his way in our life, so that in my humanity, in my brokenness, I also am surrendered in humility. And when you're in humility, what happens is it puts God in a position to authorize something to happen in your life that will ultimately bring glory to the Father. Yet not my will. Father, I'm telling you exactly how I feel, but at the end of the day, whatever you want. This is how we pray in our trials. This is how we pray in our suffering. Not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus comes back to Peter and James and John, and they're sleeping. He said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour. If we look at sort of the time frame of how he would pray and then come see them and then pray and then come see them and then pray again. Three times he approached them and they were sleeping. It's interesting how he told Peter just before this, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. But maybe, just maybe, if he would have prayed three times, if he would have been watchful. When Jesus said, watch with me, he wasn't talking about what they needed to do with their physical eyes. He was talking to us about being spiritually alert in the hour of trial. It's amazing how the word is so relevant to us today. Because very often, us as believers, in our darkest moment, when we are in distress or overwhelmed, we don't pray for an hour. We'll binge on something else for an hour. I'm going to speak really honest to you right now. But there are too many people that will spend an hour on social media in their distress rather than cry out and fall on their face before God. But then, when we hear the voice of God calling us to pray, it's amazing how we struggle to just spend 60 seconds in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's just, we'll spend 2 hours at the movies watching a movie. But then when we go home and we get before God and his word, and when we pray, we struggle to spend 2 minutes. We can barely get in 20 minutes. If we're going to continue to remain fully alert, ready for the battle, ready for every challenge, it's going to require more time in the presence of Jesus Christ. It is. Peter, I think he finally got this after realizing how he had blown it, messed up, after realizing how weak his flesh was. Although the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I just want to read you this in 1 Peter, the letter that Peter ultimately eventually writes. And he references suffering so specifically because he knew from his personal experience what it was to fall asleep on Jesus when God is calling us to be prayerful, spiritually alert, tuned into the spirit, praying without ceasing. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Verse 12 and 13, Peter also wrote, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. See? Hallelujah. Verse 19, you with me? Say amen. Amen. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Oh God. Chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, which means there's going to be suffering, folks. This is why we pray. This is why we gather on Tuesday nights, because we know that there's going to be suffering. But what will the saints do in the moment of suffering? Will we pray? Will we rest in the blessed assurance of God's grace? And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I know it's not an easy topic. I know it's not the most joyous passage of scripture, looking at the Garden of Gethsemane, the failure of the disciples, the cry of our Savior. But it ends with his glory revealed. It will always end with his glory revealed in your life. Thank God for his suffering. Because of his suffering, we are made a new person in Christ Jesus. And God in his glory is revealed in our lives. So I'm saying to you, embrace the glory. Embrace the power and the authority of our God. Embrace his humanity. May our cry look like the cry of our Savior Jesus, Abba Father. Remove this cup from me, yet not as I will, but your will be done. May it be a cry of faith. May it be a cry of faith, knowing that God is going to get the victory in your life. And suffering will end. Suffering has its end when you and I declare Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is an eternal glory that we finally come to. It is the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You will see remnants of his glory here on earth, and you will experience his eternal glory in heaven. You hear what I said? For every victory that you receive here on earth, it's simply just a taste of the goodness of our God. One day we're just going to feast forever. This is what should keep you going. I said it to the choir earlier about the importance of knowing that you and I don't belong to this world. This is not our kingdom. We're just here temporarily. We have a Savior who went to the cross and paid our sin debt to secure our passport to heaven. And your passport will not be denied as long as your faith is in Jesus Christ. You better come on now. You won't be denied. You are a citizen of heaven. If you believe in faith that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. Let me tell you something, and then we're gonna pray. A lot of times people paint this picture as if there's going to be a long line in order to get through the gates of heaven. I don't believe that. You know why? Because that's what it looks like in the natural. I believe it's going to be a supernatural entry in such a way that we will be baffled by the process of how quickly we are dancing with our Savior. This is what keeps me going, just even in my own personal life. This wonderful truth that although I might face trials and circumstances, one day there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more heartache, there'll be no more worry. No longer will there be a struggle dealing with loneliness and depression. It will all come to an end one day. And that is my boast in Jesus Christ, that I'm going somewhere where it's gonna be a new day every day forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Listen, this light affliction can't compare to the glory that will be revealed in you. In you. You might feel like the world is falling on top of you, but it is a light affliction compared to the glory of Jesus Christ that's going to be revealed. Pray. I'm going to ask you now, pray. Pray like Jesus. Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me, yet not as I will, but your will be done. That's our prayer tonight. Let it be your cry. And you know the cup of suffering that you're having to face right now. But remember, as you reflect on that cup of suffering that you're facing, nothing was more painful and grueling than the cup that Jesus drank in order for you and I to be set free. Nothing. But I'm gonna ask you to pray. Lift your voice. Call him Father tonight. Call him Father. He invites you to know him in an intimate way. Call him Father tonight when you cry out, Father, 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 because you are his sons and daughters. Let your cry be heard tonight. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.